following podcast may contain spoilers.
They were good fellas who lived for the action. Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci. Goodfellas, rated R.
Goodfellas is a 1990 crime movie written and directed by Martin Scorsese, with a screenplay by Nicholas Pileggi, based on Pileggi's book, Wise Guy, which was the account, or mostly true, probably true account, of Henry Hill, a Irish Italian American mobster, got involved in organized crime throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. The film stars Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, Lorraine Bracco, Paul Sorvino. It was released by Warner Brothers on September 9th, 1990, in Venice, and September 19th, 1990 in the United States, on a budget of $25 million, it only made $46.8 million at the worldwide box office. It is celebrating its 30th anniversary, or it will be later in the fall, so this is my 30th anniversary review of Goodfellas. Normally, Pat would be here, but he's in the trunk of a car somewhere going upstate. Won't be seeing him for a long, long time. This movie, I think, has a 96% Rotten Tomatoes as of right now. It's widely considered one of the greatest crime films of all time. It's considered one of Scorsese's greatest movies, which is saying something. It, of course, is probably the parent film. A lot of the DNA of this film would be expanded upon in a movie called The Wolf of Wall Street. Someone pointed out to me Leonardo DiCaprio's performance is basically Ray Liotta's performance on Quaaludes, and I think that's a good way to put it, on cocaine and Quaaludes. Although Ray Liotta's on cocaine throughout the last fourth of this film. When somebody asks me what is your favorite movie of all time, it alternates depending on the decade and the year. And normally I would say I don't really have one. But this is definitely, if there is a conversation about it, this is it. If there's a Mount Rushmore of the four best films, or four of my favorite films, this is one of them. And what makes it hard to do, when you love a movie so much and you know it so much, it's hard to talk about. And when it's a universally loved and praised film, it's also difficult to talk about, because what can I say that hasn't already been said? Martin Scorsese is a good director. Great. Okay, what have I added to the conversation? I think it's better than The Godfather. Oof. Go ahead and send your tweets to at Pat and Jason, or those hate emails to bingemovies@gmail.com. I think it's better than Godfather 2. Ooh. Because way back in the day, we did a Godfather trilogy episode. We ranked the trilogy. We did a feature presentation review of Godfather Part 3. That's something. Go back and listen to that one. What makes Goodfellas work is that Scorsese is able to seduce you the way that Henry Hill was seduced into the lifestyle, and the way that Lorraine Bracco's character, Karen! The way that Karen is seduced into the lifestyle. We have two characters who are not innocents, or at least they're sort of innocents, right? Like, we start with this Henry Hill character where he's a boy looking out his window, seeing these powerful figures who answer to nobody right across the street. And Scorsese is someone who always puts a lot of religious thought and imagery into all of his films. And so you have to understand that I think he's dealing with the idea of temptation, right? How does temptation work? If we want to go biblical here for a second, don't shut the podcast off. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm just talking about literary themes. You look, you see, you desire.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. Even before I first wandered into the cab stand for an after-school job, I knew I wanted to be a part of them. It was there that I knew that I belonged. And to me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted. They double-parked in front of a hydrant, and nobody ever gave them a ticket. In the summer, when they played cards all night, nobody ever called the cops. Must I forever
be? Looked, she saw the forbidden fruit, she saw that it was beautiful, she saw that it was good to eat, she wanted it. The desire grew to action, and then the fall. Temptation works the same way. You look, and you see something you want, and you see a value in it that you wanted, and you take it, right? You look, you see, you take, and ultimately are destroyed. That's what this movie's about. He looked at that lifestyle, looked at that power, looked at that swag, looked at that swagger, looked at that machismo, looked at that coolness, whatever it was, the money, the power, the prestige, the respect. He talks about a lot about respect. This is a guy who's growing up in a Sicilian, Irish, mixed household with no money and seven kids and an abusive father. The respect, no respect. There were nobodies in this neighborhood. But the guys across the street, they had power. They had respect. They didn't have to beg. They were given things. They had plenty. They didn't lack. So he saw it. He saw it was good. He wanted it. And he took it for himself. And every decision he makes along the way, he sees something, he takes it. When he gets involved in cocaine and drugs, even though he's told not to, by the guy who's, by Paulie, who's led him into this life, by Paul Sorvino, which is a triumphant return. It's a triumphant return of Paul Sorvino, and a triumphant return of Joe Pesci, and a triumphant return of Robert De Niro. I don't think we've seen Ray Liotta before, but if we have, oh, we have. We saw him in, we covered Hannibal. I think that's part of our Lost episode. So we'll just say, triumphant return of Ray Liotta. He sees that there's money to be made. He sees that there's a way for, you know, there's a lifestyle he can have if he can just move these drugs and no one will need to know. And the justifications are there. And even though he knows, like, look, if you do this, I don't care if you're my own son. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'll kill you or I'll cut you off or whatever. You know, he sees other women, right? He's not interested in Karen until she shows up and calls him on his bullshit. Then he sees her and wants her. And she's sort of interested in him, but it's only when he goes across the street and beats the shit out of the guy across the street that he puts a bloody gun in her hand. And she's like, you know, most women wouldn't want anything to do with it. But I got to be honest, I was turned on. She saw his lifestyle. She saw the access to clubs and to money and to champagne and to cash and to respect. She saw how people respected him. That's another major theme. They respected him. That power was seductive. So I think the movie is really about temptation and seduction. And it's so effective because even though the movie starts with this horrific violence, cold open, crazy violence of stabbing and shooting this battered guy in a trunk of a car, it freeze frames, and as long as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. And we're immediately thrust into the energy of this film that is seducing us. It's seducing us, just like it seduces him. And once his character is firmly established and firmly entrenched into this full lifestyle, right, he gets pinched. There's the only one rule. The only one rule is everybody gets pinched. Never say anything and never rat on your friends. That's it. You're going to get caught. Just don't be a rat. And that's De Niro's character who is coming into frame, right? Because where is that movie going to end? The movie's going to end with the very people who entered him into the lifestyle, who taught him this lesson. At another point in his life, he's going to have to save his own skin. He's going to look out for himself. He's going to throw those people. The movie starts in the courtroom, really, when you really think about it. That's when we transition from childhood. That's sort of the prologue. And it ends in a courtroom.
Congratulations. Here's your graduation present.
Some more for it. I pinched.
Everybody gets pinched, but you did it right. You told them nothing, and they got nothing.
I thought you'd be mad.
Man, I'm not mad. I'm proud of you. You took your first pinch like a man, and you learned the two greatest things in life.
What?
Look at me. Never rat on your friends, and always keep your mouth shut.
Hey, here he is, here he is.
Oh, you broke your cherry.
The narration, which is usually a crutch, is so effective in this because we understand the psychology of Liotta. We understand the psychology of this world. We have to understand in a world where you could get shot in the head by anybody at any time, in a world of betrayal, in a world of of drugs and mayhem and mistresses and drama and problems and bad kids and ugly wives and all this bullshit. Why would you want to be a... What is so seductive about it? The movie has to seduce us so that we connect with the characters. And once he's fully entrenched in that lifestyle, then we begin to follow the journey of Karen and her seduction. She goes from being this sort of innocent, if not needy, girl to being a cocaine trafficker, co-conspirator, doing coke with her kids in the other room.
After a while, it got to be all normal. None of it seemed like crimes. It was more like Henry was enterprising and that he and the guys were making a few bucks hustling while the other guys were sitting on their asses waiting for handouts. Our husbands weren't brain surgeons. They were blue-collar guys. The only way they could make extra money, real extra money, was to go out and cut a few corners.
We're doing little crimes here and there. You know, we're knocking over cigarette trucks, and we're giving the guy money, you know. Gentleman Jimmy. You know, Jimmy the Gent. What's so gentle about literally just bashing a guy's brains in the floor, and you're more concerned about getting blood on the floor than you are the guy you just murdered, right? It's not that Pesci is the only psychopath character. It's that they're all psychopaths, in a sense. Because they see themselves as good fellas. We're good guys. That's the justification. That's Karen's justification. You know, so they cut a few corners. They had to hustle a little bit to provide for their families. That's what a good guy does. And because this is the only world we know, this is who we choose to surround ourselves with, it just seems normal. Movie picks up momentum as it goes, and you're seeing more and more and more and more. And it's great, right? Because we look at it, and it's some of those early heists and crimes and just the energy and the conversations. It's fun. I don't know that I want Joe Pesci to pull a gun on me or bash my brain in, but we go from a conversation where he's telling stories and everybody's laughing and he's kicking a guy in the ass and we're all laughing and it's funny and it's ha 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 to him maiming Spider. And you're like, whoa, that ain't funny. And then he kills him. That's an escalation of behavior. There are no boundaries. And so these guys are just getting further and further and further into lawlessness. They go from selling cigarettes outside of a factory to some blue-collar workers to make sense. And we're like, yeah, it's not so bad, right? This petty crime. And so even we as an audience, we're like, we admire the hustle. We find the life and the characters charming. How many of the temptations that we have caved into in our life have ruined some aspect of our life? They don't ever appear as, hey, I'm here to ruin your life. You're tempted by something. You see what you want to see. You don't see what's really all there. So, that's what Goodfellas is about. Is it about mobsters and cool suits and a lot of pop music? Yeah. Does it overly rely on pop music and freeze frames? Yes. Do some of those things now stand out 30 years later as being a little bit cliche because we know we've seen them too many times? Yes. My major problem with the movie is the ending. I don't need Joe Pesci in a zoot suit firing at a gun while we have the Ramones version of My Way playing. I understand the frenetic nature of it. I understand, okay, it's a mixture of sort of the Ramones punk chaos with classical Frank Sinatra, you know, mobbed up swagger. I get it. I get the frenetic and the classic matching because that's what this movie is. It's a classic mobster movie with a frenetic 1990s, late 80s sort of style and pace to it, which is what makes it so great. I just don't know that I need that. I don't need that random shot of him just firing the gun a few more times. Like, I get that this was a violent movie and violence is a part of this lifestyle, but I don't really know what that serves. But if you walk away from a film and your final and only gripe about it is the last 20 seconds, I don't even know if it's the last two to 5 seconds, and the song they choose to play at the end, then that means you've watched a pretty good movie. And it's a Scorsese aha gotcha moment. You are so seduced by this lifestyle, and you are along for the ride, and then I took the ride off the rails, and before you knew it, the story was out of control, because that's what this sort of lifestyle is. It gets out of control. The idea that you can manage chaos is a lie. You can't, because then it wouldn't be chaos. The entire time, the thing this guy hasn't wanted to be and the thing you don't really want to be is you. And you would be just as susceptible. You can look at this guy and judge him and put him down. But if you could trade places with him for a moment, you would have wanted to because, you know, I know because at different points in this movie, you are living vicariously through this character. He does it through his tracking shots. He does it through the editing. He does it through the pacing. You get caught up in the energy of the film, and you feel like you're in the room, and you want to be there, knocking back drinks and laughing with these guys and listening to, you know, Frank Sinatra, and you want to be part of it. You're not immune to temptation, but you're also not immune to the consequences. That is my take on Martin Scorsese's classic film, Goodfellas.
Pay back the bookies. Didn't matter. Didn't mean anything. When I was broke, I would go out and rob some more. We ran everything. We paid off cops. We paid off lawyers. We paid off judges. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. And now it's all over.
And that's the hardest part. And today, everything is different. There's no action. I have to wait around like everyone else. Can't even get decent food. Right after I got here, I ordered some spaghetti with marinara sauce, and I got egg noodles and ketchup. I'm an average nobody. Get to live the rest of my life like a schnook.